Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next-door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass.
Look, our next guest is Anna Bligh, the CEO of the Australian Bankers Association. Been on the show a few times before. Good morning, Anna. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Look, considering everything, pretty good. And, you know, there are a lot of challenges for us all. I can't imagine the challenges that, you know, you're facing heading up an organisation. Okay, people are going to think I'm having a pun here. They're all bankers, but it's I know. But, you know, it's an industry that's hugely important to Australia, and we're at the point, Anna, where a lot of customers are coming to the end of their original loan extension, where their payments were paused or reduced and interest was being capitalised. Is it the intention of the banks generally to offer further extensions depending on people's circumstances?
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to let your listeners know what the next phase of support will look like. You're right, banks offered a six-month deferral of loan repayments on mortgages and business loans and other personal credit like credit cards and car loans back at the end of March. And it's hard to cast ourselves back then, but at the end of March, early April, I think we all thought that by the end of September, most of COVID would be behind us and the economic effects would be behind us, and that 6 months seemed like about the right amount of time to give this deferral. What is become increasingly clear is that while there are many people who have already started to make repayments again, there are equally a very large number of people for whom September is not going to be long enough. They are people in industries which are either still in lockdown. So if you're in the airline industry, and particularly if you're in the international airline industry, those provisions are likely to last beyond September. And there are some industries that are more severely impacted than others, anything to do with travel, but also hospitality, accommodation, and many others. So banks have recently resolved a process that they've agreed with the regulators. At the end, in the lead up to the end of your 6 months, and the first group of people will start experiencing this in August, September, your bank will contact you and will start having a conversation with you about what your circumstances look like. There will be people who took out the deferral, but whose income, ultimately, they took it out, you know, being out of precaution because they didn't know what was going to happen. In the end, their income was not particularly affected. And if you are able to make your full payments again, you will be required to do so. And I think that's a really important message. It is not in your financial interest to keep deferring your loan repayments. It takes you deeper into debt and puts you in a position where you're repaying for longer. So if you're able to pay it, the expectation will be that you start repayments again. But banks understand that that will only be true for some people. If you are not able to pay, but you might be able to pay something, then banks will work with you to restructure your loan. And that means a variety of things. Could be moving from principal and interest to interest only for a period of time. It could be lengthening the period of your loan. It could be changing your interest rate. Could be a combination of all of those. And what they'll be looking for is a restructured arrangement that allows you to start making payments on the restructured loan. Similarly, there will be people for whom that's not the case yet, but you can have a high degree of expectation that with a bit more time, these people, individuals and businesses, will be able to get back on their feet, and banks will be in a position to offer a further extension of up to 4 months. And it'll be, we went into this, like the government, yeah. You know, not really knowing what we'd be facing. And the offer at the beginning was very wide. If you need help, everybody gets the same, 6 months. Coming out of it, it'll be much more tailored and much more individualised. You know, what do you need to restore yourself to a position of financial well-being, and how long will that take?
Yeah.
So there is, I do want those people who are right now listening and sitting with a deferred mortgage payment, not knowing what's going to happen in September or October, whenever they reach their six-month mark, to know that their bank will contact them, right. Will work with them, and, you know, there'll be different solutions for different circumstances.
Now, one thing I wanted to cover off in that, Anna, and it is, look, it's a bit of a technical question, and you may not know the answer to this, but as an intro for listeners, you know, banks make their money from fees and the interest spread. And the interest spread is the difference between what they pay for money that they're borrowing and what they receive when they lend it out. With so much of their portfolio, and it's not a huge portfolio, granted, not actually earning interest, the interest is being capitalised. This is a challenge for the banks. In terms of sustaining their income and dividends and all this sort of stuff and keeping the regulator happy. If this continues for a very long time, what's the bank's view on that? How are they going to adapt to this environment?
Well, you're right. These are extraordinary circumstances. In an average year, a non-COVID average year, the banking industry as a whole would be dealing with just under 1%, somewhere around 0.9% of all of their loans that are getting into arrears and are in trouble. Right now, with the deferral that they have issued, it's now around 10%.
Wow.
So it is now 10% of your entire lending. You know, it's material, but it is manageable.
Mm.
But it is still 10 times what your teams are used to dealing with. And I think many people who got the deferral at the beginning had a lot of frustrating time waiting on the phone because banks were just experiencing an avalanche of need. They have ramped up. Most of them have doubled their hardship teams. So they're adding, you know, more than, you know, I think it's up to about 3,000 extra staff, either deploying people from within the bank and employing new people. So they, you know, they're really looking forward to being able to manage people's needs more effectively on the way out of this. But I think it is important to recognise that Australian banks came into this crisis stronger and better capitalised than they have ever been. In this country, we have some of the best capitalised banks in the world.
We
and what
do.
That means is they have strong capital buffers, and those buffers are there for times like this.
And
they're not inexhaustible, but right now they are doing the job they're meant to do. They're giving the bank a buffer against having 10% of their loan book in this current circumstance.
Anna, what's been the community's reaction to the sort of thinking and the planning work that you're doing?
Well, again, banks came into this not only very well capitalised, but let's be honest, they came in not long out of a Royal Commission.
Correct.
In which it was very clear, probably one of the most recurring themes in that Royal Commission was not so much whether banks had adhered to the law, although there were some breaches of that, but more had they met community expectations.
Yeah.
And so they came into this crisis with that very, very front of mind. They'd spent 12 months looking at the Royal Commission recommendations, starting to implement them, and having some pretty hard conversations internally about where did we fail, how did we fail to meet community expectations, and how do we avoid this in the future. And when this crisis appeared, the question was very clear. What would the community, what do Australians expect of us at a time like this? And I would like to hope that Australians have seen their banks step up. You know, right now, at any time, banking is very important and critical to the strength of an economy. But during an economic crisis, banks are even more critical. Mm. And they have been working hand in hand with regulators and with government so that together, I mean, you need all hands on deck at a time like this, and you know, I think banks have really stepped up. And it is making a difference. If banks were not doing the job of absorbing the economic shock here,
that
would have to be absorbed by households.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you think about, right now there are about 750,000 loans deferred. That's 750,000 Australians. If you can think about what it would mean if they were not able to access this kind of relief and support, we'd all be in a lot worse place.
Now, I know we're nearly out of time, but I just wanted to get your reflections on what's happening with cash. There seems to have been a big shift away from cash, but I understand, and I've heard a couple of anecdotal reports, that early in the pandemic there was a big rush for cash and people were, you know, removing huge amounts of money out of their bank accounts, turning it into cash, but now not using it. So what reflections do you have? What observations do you have about this?
Well, there is a very interesting shift in behaviour in Australian consumers. And it's been happening for some time. So we have been gradually becoming less and less cashless. Sorry, more and more cashless. And we've been using less and less cash. And that has now dramatically accelerated during the pandemic. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Firstly, a lot of merchants, shop owners, started to refuse to use cash. Mm. They were not wanting their staff or their customers to be touching cash. So many, I walk up to my local shops and most of them will no longer take cash. Similarly, citizens were being told not to leave their homes for any reason that was unnecessary. And so people didn't need as much cash. They were more likely to be shopping online. People who hadn't done their groceries online before started to because they didn't want to be in crowded supermarkets. They didn't want to be in crowded streets. So the combination of most of us being at home for a lot more often and being told to stay at home, and then when we have gone out to get groceries, our local shops have said we're not taking cash. So that has really accelerated. You might be interested to know that there were just over 500,000 Australians who still use a passbook.
My parents are one of those.
Yes, and we became very concerned because they are often older Australians. Yes. These are the very people who are being told, to have a much harder lockdown. Do not go out of the house at all if you can avoid it because you're particularly at risk. So we did a very big exercise about 2 months ago where we unsolicited sent debit cards to all of those people in that circumstance. And most banks report about a 20% activation rate.
Okay.
And it might not seem much, but I was quite surprised. This is changing the habit of a lifetime.
Yes.
And learning to use it online. So we are seeing a very accelerated shift in how people access goods and services, what money means to them, how they move money around. I don't think we're going to be cashless tomorrow.
No.
But it is clear that it is accelerating at a significant pace.
Now, Anna, we're out of time. I do want to thank you again for making your time on a Saturday and, speaking to our listeners and, what's going to happen with their deferred loans. I really appreciate that. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you. One thing I would say is your bank will contact you, but if you're worried, if you have any concerns right now in the middle of this, ring your bank. They will offer you a range of solutions. Deferrals are only part of the suite of options and, we've got enough to worry about. Don't let finances be one of them.
Great.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.